This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Mayhem at a Trump rally. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, May 25th. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Young demonstrators outside a rally for Donald Trump last night in Albuquerque threw rocks, lit shirts on fire, and taunted police. Meanwhile, reports say he's close to a key endorsement.
The Justice Department will seek the death penalty against Dylan Roof, the man accused of fatally shooting parishioners at a black church in South Carolina.
The sexual assault case against comedian Bill Cosby will go forward. A Pennsylvania judge has ruled there is enough evidence.
And how much young adults are laying out for their college loans each month?
It's interesting, and I think that's because a lot of people who entered college during the downturn or afterward did not complete their degree. They dropped out, and they now don't have decent jobs, but they still have that student debt, and they're just not paying it down.
Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell on how much millennials are paying and why the number may seem really low. He's here in about 25 minutes. More chaos at a Trump rally, this time in New Mexico, the state with the highest per capita number of Hispanics. Protesters burned T-shirts, smashed a door, and threw rocks outside the Albuquerque Convention Center last night, where presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump spoke to supporters. Outside, anti-Trump protesters, many critical of his positions on immigration, loudly chanted, F Donald Trump.
No one has been arrested. Stop throwing stuff. This is a peaceful rally.
Some taunted police and jumped on police vehicles as officers in riot gear and on police horses moved them away from the convention center's exit. Even after the event was over, demonstrators, described by the Washington Post as mostly young, continued shouting profanities. Some hung out of cars, stopped in the middle of the street, revving their engines and flying Mexican flags out windows. Meanwhile, there are reports this morning that Mr. Trump is set to be endorsed today by House Speaker Paul Ryan. Well, Mr. Trump, the Republican presumptive nominee, has already inspired a handful of congressional candidates facing primaries, and his campaign may have a generational impact on the party and its ideology. So says Ben Jacobs, political reporter at The Guardian. Ben, what'd you write about?
So Trump is very much a protectionist, that he is not a free trader. He's opposed to free trade agreements like NAFTA, and has talked about imposing retaliatory tariffs on companies that move jobs overseas. A lot of other Republicans, a lot of other conservatives are in favor of free markets. They view trade barriers as, you know, inherent government interference in the market, and trying to get to a point where there's the lowest possible good costs imposed on goods coming from overseas.
And this is connected to his statement at one point not long ago, right, where he said, just a reminder, this is the Republican Party, not the Conservative Party?
Yes, that was something he said in response to specific conservative criticism on a number of issues, that there have been a number of conservatives who don't necessarily view him as being, conservative on, going back to flip-flops about abortion and gun control and past inconsistencies on issues. And this is more where he hasn't changed his mind, where he's sort of kept up these heterodox views.
Hmm. And explain, too, some of the trickle-down we're seeing, because as you say, Mr. Trump has inspired a handful of Republicans facing primaries.
Mm-hmm. That he's inspired already one challenger against Speaker Paul Ryan. He's another congresswoman who is facing a tough race in North Carolina because she's facing a primary against another incumbent, is now adopting a lot of Trumpian tones, too, in that John Weaver, who was John Kasich's chief strategist in the campaign, told me that he anticipates in 2018 we'll see a lot more mini-Trumps, that because Trump didn't look like he was going to become the nominee until relatively recently, there's very few candidates this year who are sounding a lot like him, but there's the anticipation that this time in 2 years, there'll be a lot more Trumpian candidates.
Well, we're speaking with Ben Jacobs, political correspondent at The Guardian. His piece is called "Will Trumpism Replace Conservatism?" Is the GOP changed forever, or does it depend on whether or not Mr. Trump actually wins the presidency?
It depends a lot on whether he wins the presidency. That if he does, then he, you know, will control the party apparatus and will have, you know, it'll be a defining influence in terms of what Republican Party is and what conservatism is over coming years. But even if he doesn't, there's still an influence. That when you look at the past, folks like Barry Goldwater and George McGovern had big influence on the party without actually winning the party's nomination.
Do you see this unfolding, I guess, over the coming months? Might there be some unity on issues, or at least a, I don't know, more common ground?
I think you may see, you know, I think everyone's trying to get towards unity, that when you see the outreach that's happening on both sides of the campaign and on Capitol Hill, it's a question whether, you know, the Republican Party leaders seem willing to make concessions. It's a question of whether Trump will stoop to conquer and try to change his tone and appear, you know, what he, more presidential, that his chief strategist Paul Manafort has said in private to party leaders that he'll change that he gets to the general election. Trump has immediately gone out in public interviews and said that he won't and that he'll continue to be himself. And I think that's the internal conflict, that you can already see Trump moving away from issues like the Muslim ban that have caused grave uncertainty within the party. But, you know, much of it depends on what happens over the coming months, how Trump responds to attacks and responds to what's going to be the unprecedented level of scrutiny he'll receive as a major party nominee.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Jacobs from The Guardian. 13 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We're welcoming a new sponsor to the show, and it's Google. Curious to know the most searched dog breed on Google right now? Well, it's the Bernedoodle. The point here, if you were in the grooming business or a dog walker, you could capitalize on using popular search terms to maximize exposure. No matter what business you're in, an ad on Google will help you find new customers at the exact moment they're searching for what you have to offer. Check it out for your business. Go to g.co/podcast to get $25 off your first campaign. That's g.co/podcast. Business is waiting. Check it out today. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday. The Justice Department has announced it will seek the death penalty for the South Carolina man charged with killing 9 parishioners at a church last year. Attorney General Loretta Lynch said yesterday she has decided to seek the death penalty for Dylan Roof, who's white, for the massacre at a Bible study class at a black church in Charleston. We get more from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Authorities say Mr. Roof's attack was a hate crime and that he hoped the killings would spark further racial violence. Police accuse him of walking into the historic Emmanuel AME Church last June, listening quietly to an hour-long discussion, and then shooting the attendees. He was 21 at the time. Proceedings in the federal case have been delayed pending the decision about whether to pursue the death penalty. Meanwhile, there's currently an effective moratorium on executions in the federal prison system due to a review of the drugs being used. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Mr. Roof's lawyers, by the way, have said in court that he would be willing to plead guilty to some of the federal charges, but couldn't proceed until the Justice Department made its decision on seeking the death penalty. A judge in Pennsylvania has ordered comedian Bill Cosby to stand trial in the 2004 indecent assault case brought against him last December. Mr. Cosby, who's 78, appeared yesterday in a Montgomery County courtroom where a judge heard some statements to police from Andrea Constand, his accuser. Brian McMonagle is a Cosby attorney.
The evidence is telling in this case as to why they chose not to bring this complainant, because their evidence determined back when this investigation unfolded proved that there was no crime committed here, that there was no evidence of a crime here, and that the inconsistencies that plagued this investigation from the beginning continue to plague it now.
Meanwhile, the local police chief, John Norris, told the court that Mr. Cosby admitted to giving Ms. Constand Benadryl after she complained about having trouble sleeping and that the two later, quote, petted. Mr. Cosby later allegedly admitted that She did tell him to stop during the second visit to his home. Kevin Steele is the Montgomery County District Attorney.
A preliminary hearing is a situation where we only have to show that a crime's committed and the defendant's connected to the crime. We did that through the victim's statement and the defendant's admissions to much of the crime.
Ms. Constand claimed that Mr. Cosby sexually assaulted her in 2004 at his home after giving her pills and wine, which rendered her unresponsive. In a deposition, he admitted to obtaining Quaaludes to give to women with whom he wanted to have sex. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump have each won their party's primaries in Washington state. Trump's win puts him within 41 delegates of the number needed to become the Republican nominee. Clinton's win might give her some momentum, but it won't get her any delegates since there were no delegates at stake in the Democratic primary. Protesters threw rocks and bottles at police officers who responded with pepper spray outside a rally for Trump in Albuquerque last night. Hundreds of protesters tried to storm the convention center in New Mexico's biggest city, knocking down barricades and throwing objects at a door and then hurling rocks and bottles at mounted police in riot gear.
I believe the man will absolutely ravage the environment, and I am not okay with that in the slightest.
He's dangerous. He is absolutely murderous and dangerous.
Several police officers were injured in the melee. The House has approved a bill that makes it easier for state and local governments to spray pesticides to kill mosquitoes and stop the spread of the Zika virus. But the bill doesn't authorize any new money in the fight, something Senator Harry Reid finds unacceptable.
We shouldn't leave town for the Memorial Day recess unless we get money for the Zika crisis it's facing America.
The House and Senate are at a standoff over funding the fight against Zika. The Senate passed a $1.1 billion package. The House approved a smaller $622 million bill. Homes were damaged and at least two people were critically injured in Kansas amid severe storms that swept across the plains yesterday. The storms in western and south central parts of the state downed trees and power lines and damaged rural homes and outbuildings. Pretty soon, you may be able to wear your smartphone around your wrist. A small Chinese startup is about to unveil a device that features a flexible touchscreen that still works when looped or worn like a watch or a bracelet. It will also function stretch flat like any other smartphone. The device will go on sale first in China by the end of the year.
What about that implanted chip in your head? Have they they gone around with that yet?
I need one of those.
Things are getting smaller. They're easier to wear.
I need a chip in my head.
You need one?
Yes.
Then we could just program you remotely.
Yep.
Thanks, Jen. It's 22 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. In just minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A four-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage, and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices on everything you need to promote your business, from business cards, brochures, and banners to pens, magnets, and calendars. Trust Staples for low prices every day. Staples, make more happen. Are you ready to let your car do all the work for you while you sip coffee or flip through the paper and check emails on your way to work? Yet no? Then you're not alone. MarketWatch reporter Katie Burke says the biggest hurdle for self-driving cars may not be safety, technology, or price. It's convincing people they want to be driven around by their car. Katie, what do we have?
The University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute came out with its second study on the public opinion of self-driving cars, and it pretty much said the same thing that last year's study said, essentially that most Americans would prefer to have a car that either had slight self-driving capabilities or none at all, while only a small percentage would buy a car that was fully self-driving, which is interesting given the amount of money and media coverage that is going towards self-driving technology and how it's being purported as the future of transportation.
What is it? Anybody say? Is it a trust thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the biggest issue right now is drivers aren't necessarily convinced that this technology is safe or safer than a human at the controls. And 95% of the drivers surveyed by Michigan said they would like to have some kinds of controls in the car and the ability to override the self-driving capabilities.
Wow. You know, we embrace tech everything else, don't we? But we're holding out on the cars. Wow.
Yeah, well, it seems to be a natural concern. And over time, experts expect this opinion to shift more into trustworthiness as these cars prove that they can reduce driving fatalities and are overall safer than a human at the wheel.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I guess, have they yet to prove how safe this is going to be just because there hasn't really been widespread adaptation of these vehicles on the roads?
Yeah, I mean, Google has been testing it in small areas, and there have been reports of minor crashes. I mean, nothing major, but again, the number of cars that are fully self-driving versus the number of crashes, it's hard to kind of expand on how that would look in an overall traffic setting.
How about the business side of it, though? This was fascinating. We talked about kind of the amount of time, I guess, self-driving vehicles like for Uber would be generating revenue or something, right?
Yeah, so in the study by Deutsche Bank, by assuming a ride-hailing service or a taxi spends about 17 hours on the job, a self-driving taxi or Uber or Lyft would generate revenue 85% of that time, while a regular taxi and Ubers and Lyfts operated by humans right now generate revenue about 50% of that time.
How about that? Thanks, Katie. MarketWatch reporter Katie Burke from New York. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Quick reminder, by the way, you can check us out on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or you can look us up on Twitter. We use the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly as well with the username at Gordon Deal. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy, too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget, too busy scheduling appointments, too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website. The result is stunning. Go to Wix.com today. Wix.com. Thanks for spending time with us on this Wednesday, May 25th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Rock and bottle throwing by anti-Trump protesters in New Mexico last night. The feds will seek the death penalty for Charleston church shooter Dylan Roof. Enough evidence for a trial to proceed against comedian Bill Cosby. Congressional hearing today about long airport lines. How about this? The Pac-12 will start broadcasting video game competitions next school year. The Miami Marlins are suing some season ticket holders, and the NFL's most hated player, wink, wink. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, you've heard the ugly stories about how many recent college grads are saddled with student loan debt. How much would you figure those monthly bills are? Maybe $800, $1,000 a month? Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell says while many are struggling under huge monthly student debt bills, they are a sizable minority, not the norm. The Cleveland Fed found that the typical borrower between ages 20 and 30 pays $203 a month toward student debt. Josh, give us some of those findings.
So student debt overall has tripled over the past 10 years after inflation. So the overall student debt tab in the country has gone up very sharply. But if you just look at what the typical monthly payment is, it's only gone up by about 50%. So the individual payments are not going up as quickly as the overall student debt tab. And one of the big reasons for that is, you know, one of the perhaps the biggest factor behind this sharp rise in student debt is we just had more people going to college or graduate school during the downturn. So it wasn't so much that the individual debt burdens were going up so quickly, but it's more of, you know, there was just this boom in higher education enrollment, more people going, and that caused the overall debt tab to rise.
That $200 a month, roughly, translates to what size of loan money borrowed?
Well, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell because there's another factor as to why the monthly payment hasn't gone up as quickly as you would expect. And that's because people are paying their student loan bills over a longer period of time. So it used to be pretty standard to pay back your student debt over 10 years, but right now people are extending that payment out to 20 years. And what that does is it lowers the monthly payment, but it allows their balance to grow as interest accrues. So it's hard to determine how much of this sort of modest growth in the monthly payment has to do with just the balance is not rising that much versus people are paying over a longer repayment period. What I can tell you is that we have seen pretty decent growth in what the typical balances of someone who graduates college and borrowed for college. That's about, it depends on the research, but between $30,000 to $37,000 when you're looking at the average debt load for seniors who graduate college this year.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell. He's got a piece entitled "How Much Are Young Americans Paying a Month on Student Debt? Less than you think." All right, so what about loan default rates? Have they changed with, seemingly this lower number that we're absorbing here?
Well, what's interesting is that that student loan default rates are actually quite high. The New York Fed just came out with some data that shows that the delinquency rate, meaning what share of all student debt that is due that is 90 days behind on a payment, is about 22%. So that's very high. And when you break it down, it's actually people with the smallest student debt that are more likely to default. The average balance in default is about $9,000. So it's interesting, and I think that's because a lot of people who entered college during the downturn or afterward did not complete their degree. They dropped out, and they now don't have decent jobs, but they still have that student debt, and they're just not paying it down.
Let me ask you this. As you talked about before, the lengthening of loans, is that happening at an unusual pace? Like, has there been a sudden surge of people taking out, I don't know, the 20-year loan versus trying to pay it off in 10? That would be telling.
That's a very good point, and that's why you have to not only look at the headline figures here, but look at what's going on underneath. And there's been a surge in income-based repayment, which is basically this program that the government now offers that says, you know, you can set your monthly student debt bill at 10% of your discretionary income, and that in many cases is reducing people's payments by hundreds of bucks. So, you know, their monthly payment is going down, but in a lot of cases, when they enroll in those income-based repayment plans, the new payment doesn't even kind of cover the interest, so their balances are actually growing.
Thanks, Josh. Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell from Washington. It's 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you've ever found yourself jonesing for a taste of Northern California, literally, there's a winemaker who can accommodate you. UPI says that a California-based distillery has found a way to give drinkers a taste of San Francisco by creating a vodka made from the city's fog.
What? Just, what?
Yes, you take the fog and somehow you make it into a vodka.
I see.
The vodka is known as Fog Point, Gordon. It was released by Hangar One, who used fog catchers to turn San Francisco's fog into fresh water. Fog catchers were set up in several locations throughout the area. The company's website says that the water is then blended with vodka. And the company says that it was California's long-running drought that got them thinking about alternative ways to harvest water. Only 2,500 bottles of Fog Point were produced, with each bottle selling for $125, but all proceeds are going to Water Conservancy in California. See, I can see, I understand why you're having trouble getting this, because we live in the New York area,
yes.
And we couldn't possibly imagine taking anything that is that is in the atmosphere in the New York area and turning that into something that's drinkable.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yes, that, and what is a fog catcher?
It's something they only make in California, I'm
like,
sure.
You just like ask sixth graders to run around with Ziploc bags and try to capture this stuff like during recess?
Yeah.
Like, what is a fog catcher?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe some sort of vacuum device,
yeah.
I would guess.
Right.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, giant vacuum like at the top of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Right.
Or something like that.
Right. But the marketing for this, again, it only works if it's a place like San Francisco.
Listen.
It doesn't. It's not going to work if it's a taste of Manhattan.
Okay. Well, maybe. There are people who will pay this money. But this is brilliant. I mean, this is strictly brilliant. For the vodka made of fog.
Yeah.
To help a water conservation effort.
And, you know, the money's going to charity, I guess. So, you know, good for them.
It's brilliant. And, of course, you limit the supply.
Yes.
You're only 2,500 bottles, right? Get it before it runs out.
It's great.
It's right out of the Apple playbook.
Yes. Act within the next 10 minutes or they're going to be gone. And if you're flirting with someone, Gordon, and they don't respond in kind, it can be a little embarrassing for sure. The proper thing for you to do then is walk away, however, and not respond like this guy did. An Australian woman who rejected a man's advances recorded the man on video hurling golf balls at her car while traveling more than 60 miles per hour.
Oh, it's... While they're driving.
Yes.
This wasn't like he stormed out of the bar and just like opened up his trunk, unzipped the golf bag pouch...
Nope,
and started throwing golf balls at her car in the parking lot,
which would have been bad enough. But they were on the highway,
attempting
to drive safely. Yes, the video shows the male driver in a blue car throwing the golf balls at the woman's car as she films from her dash cam. The woman said the man had been waving, winking, and blowing kisses at her while they traveled side by side on the road. She said he became angry when she ignored his advances. Police say they have seen the video and are working to identify the driver. And I've seen the video, and he looks really angry. I mean, luckily this was the worst thing that happened, and luckily, like, you know, where the balls didn't go through the window and hit her in the face or something, like distract her while she was driving, and she could have ran off the road or something. I mean, luckily this is the worst thing that happened, but the guy looked very, very angry that for whatever reason, his waving and winking and blowing kisses, for some reason, she didn't find that attractive, Gordon.
How was just the golf balls flying out on the highway, like, potentially distracting other drivers, right?
Yeah.
Never mind just the two of them. You know, and what's happening there.
Hopefully they can track this guy down.
Wow. Hey, baby, if I were in charge of the alphabet, I would put you and I together. Maybe he dropped one of those lines and that was just not good.
That would have been better than anything else that happened here in the situation.
Golf ball scenario. Yeah.
That might have at least gotten a smile.
13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We're welcoming a new sponsor to the show, and it's Google. Curious to know the most searched dog breed on Google right now? Well, it's the Bernedoodle. The point here, if you were in the grooming business or a dog walker, you could capitalize on using popular search terms to maximize exposure. No matter what business you're in, an ad on Google will help you find new customers at the exact moment they're searching for what you have to offer. Check it out for your business. Go to g.co/podcast to get $25 off your first campaign. That's g.co/podcast. Business is waiting. Check it out today. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday. 8 minutes now before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the Justice Department says it will seek the death penalty for Dylan Roof, who's accused of shooting 9 black parishioners in Charleston last June. Roof faces dozens of federal charges, including hate crimes stemming from the murders. 6 women and 3 men were killed at the historic Emmanuel AME Church. Until December of last year, none of the dozens of allegations of sexual misconduct against Bill Cosby had resulted in any criminal charges. Now, there's a chance the 78-year-old comedian could end up in prison for up to a decade. A judge in Pennsylvania has ruled that Cosby must stand trial on charges of drugging and molesting a former Temple University employee. Montgomery County District Attorney Kevin Steele says Andrea Constand was ready to testify.
She was available to testify at trial under the case law that we presented, and the judge ruled in our favor. It wasn't necessary.
Constance says Cosby gave her pills that rendered her senseless and then assaulted her. The Afghan Taliban has confirmed that their leader, Mullah Akhtar Mansour, was killed in a U.S. drone strike last week, and that they have appointed a successor, a scholar known for extremist views who's unlikely to back a peace process with Kabul. The announcement came as a suicide bomber struck a minibus carrying carrying court employees in the Afghan capital, killing at least 10 people. President Obama arrived to enthusiastic crowds at his final event in Vietnam today, a town hall with young Asian leaders in Ho Chi Minh City, where the president fielded some colorful questions. Eager crowds asked the president questions ranging from his marijuana use in his youth to where he sees himself in 5 years. He says he'd like to be involved in public policy issues.
I'd be like a community organizer, except a little more famous than I used to be.
Earlier in the day, the president met with seven foreign service nationals who served at the U.S. Embassy in Saigon during the 1975 evacuation. And the stakes just keep getting higher in collegiate sports. Under Armour has reached a 15-year, $280 million footwear and apparel deal with UCLA, trumping the previous largest agreement in college sports, Nike's $252 million deal with Ohio State.
What could possibly go wrong with so much money sloshing around college sports?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning.
Give your employees the power to do their best work, reduce downtime by 50%, and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance by updating to the most secure, manageable, and reliable Dell Latitude business class laptops and 2-in-1s with the latest Intel Core processors. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio.
One of the nicest guys in the NFL apparently is having some fun with a new poll that lists him among the players that fans love to hate the most. Mild-mannered Falcons tight end Jacob Tammy says he got a chuckle when he found out he was on a SiriusXM list in which he beat out Tom Brady, Cam Newton, and Richard Sherman with 40% of the vote. He engaged the fans to win enough votes. ESPN says someone jokingly tweeted how Tammy goes through the 10 items or less express line at the grocery store with 15 items. One fan even chimed in that Tammy trains pigeons to poop on cars. For the record, he's far from the type of player anyone would love to hate. He's extremely active in his community, especially with veterans. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.